make good mornings great with a Bowl of Brooks collection featuring cereal-inspired chews, available in multiple styles. The collection delivers spoonfuls of nostalgia that will add flavor to your morning running routine. Start your day the Brooks way at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
The Texas Law Guns have helped thousands of Texas families fight for justice against big insurance companies. So it's no surprise they've been voted best injury lawyers in Texas 6 years in a row. Year after year, the choice for the toughest and best lawyers in Texas is clear. Javier Villarreal and Alex Beacom are the Texas Law Guns. Call anytime, any day at 512-8000. That's 512-800-0000.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of people are looking at the way America is today and wondering to themselves, hey, maybe there was something to all that talk about the rigged election. The Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax under the Voice of Texas has been concentrating primarily on the states that violated their election laws. I'm thinking of Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. They out and out violated their own election laws. Their Supreme Courts, their governors got into agreements or made wholesale changes inconsistent with the rule of law. All well and good if you make up your mind you're not going to follow the Constitution of the United States. Constitution doesn't say, well, you know, you follow the Constitution only and if there isn't a pandemic, then all the rules go out the window. That's not the way it works. So there have been a lot of people who have been talking about not only the violation of the laws, which, for example, one of the violations was extending voting hours, extending when they would accept ballots, extending decreasing the signature verification threshold because of all of these mail-in ballots and these drop boxes. A lot of people, in particular on the so-called losing side, believe not only did the people's choice for president not win, but the person who decided that he would go on and assume the post has done nothing but harm this country since he walked in the door. Everything he has done has brought harm to this country. And all the Republicans have done is give it all lip service, but they have done nothing really to slow the Biden agenda whatsoever. Now, you all know that when the Democrats are in the minority, it's like they're in the majority. They can gab and nip at the Republicans' heels, and the Republicans will give in on virtually everything. They will sacrifice your rights and the electoral majority that you gave them just to placate their good friends, the Socialist Democrats. However, when the Democrats are in charge, it's Katie bar the door. They don't give a damn who is yelling or caterwauling, even though it's not unified on the Republican side. The Democrats just get their way. The Democrats get their way when they win. They get their way when they lose. So the examination of what has happened in the 2020 election is now slowly but surely coming out. What they did, you guys know about what happened with the FBI showing up to social media companies saying, hey, better watch out for that Russian disinformation. Lo and behold, right before the Hunter Biden laptop issue drops. So, look, a lot of people on a lot of levels know a lot of things, and you can't keep this stuff contained for very long before things start coming out. There have been enablers on both sides of the political aisle. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, enablers on the Republican side. Come on, let's just move on. Let's just all take our lumps. Let Biden destroy the country. And if there's still a country left, maybe the Republicans might win in the future. Maybe. And Mitch McConnell's been perfectly comfortable with that position. Chief Justice John Roberts. Here's a guy that oversees a court that can only oversee disputes between the states. That is the only court that is equipped to do that constitutionally. And he says, oh, yeah, Texas, you got a problem? Oh, well, so what? I don't care. I'm just not going to look at it. Sorry. Nothing here to see. Well, don't you want to look at our evidence? No. We're just going to dismiss it. We don't want to see any evidence. But I've got examples of how these states violated their own state laws. Oh, no, don't want to see it. Can't have it presented in court because, oh, gosh, look at that. Ken Paxton, you're so right. And Chief Justice John Roberts hates President Trump. So we're just not going to even entertain this. Conservative justices on the court said that was a mistake. And it was a mistake because Chief Justice John Roberts should have allowed that lawsuit to go through so the country could have seen exactly what Michigan and Wisconsin. And by the way, in Michigan, Jocelyn Benson was found to have violated by a judge, violated her state's election laws. And in my mind, that calls into question the election. Now, is it possible they could have had an election in Michigan that was free and fair, even though they weren't following the law? Sure, I guess it's possible, but it's also equally possible and plausible that it wasn't fair. So we ought to know, and there ought to be an investigation. But the FBI doesn't want to investigate that. The FBI would rather trump up charges, no pun intended, on the former president and raid his Mar-a-Lago home because, oh, he took some press clippings. Ooh, and he took some magazines. Ooh, and we saw a moving van out in the front. And 2 years ago, when President Trump was still president, and because there was a moving truck there, we must invade. We must raid. Nothing feels good about what's transpiring. And it seems that the FBI and the Department of Justice is in ass-covering mode. It's exactly what they're in. And they're in it to their eyeballs, folks. They can't allow the truth to come out. So they are in it for the long haul, making sure that President Trump never gets in, never gets the levers of power, and never can reveal exactly what they did, starting with the Russia collusion hoax. Goes all the way back there. So there, you've got so many players invested in making sure America First never gets back into the Oval Office because they have done a lot of shady things and they have done illegal things and they have worked to intimidate and coerce, illegally so, our people who called BS. So a new book has been published about the malfeasance and shenanigans going on in the state of Pennsylvania, one state, and the author has documented everything. And to hear him speak and to see the press forward that I got on this, I think he's on to something. And I think you're going to want to listen to this, and you're going to want to pass it on to your friends and family and say, really, are we going to look the other way forever on what happened in 2022? That's on the Salcedo Storm podcast, coming up next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
The catchphrase has been voter fraud, and a lot of people have been working in that arena to try to prove it. We've been focused, as I mentioned, on the states and the law. The four states in question, of course, I'm thinking of Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is the focus of my next guest. Gregory Stenstrom is co-founder of Patriot Online, a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. He's a technology leader and data scientist who holds a Bachelor's of Science degree from the United States Naval Academy. He's also the author of a new book, Parallel Election, a Blueprint for Deception. Gregory, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So first off, you focused on Pennsylvania. Give us the view from 30,000 feet up. What did you find?
In Pennsylvania, we actually focused on Delaware County, but we submitted two lawsuits that we can prove that 327,000 ballots in Delaware County were fraudulently certified.
Now tell me what process you went, and that's a lot of ballots. 327,000 is a lot of ballots. How did you go about this process, and then tell us how they violated the law?
Well, in our county, I was a poll watcher, certified poll watcher. And in a nutshell, we saw them put 120,000 fake mail-in ballots through the machines that sorted the ballots. And then they hid 70,000 of real ballots in a back room. And then we saw them take USB V drives, which are they use to tabulate the vote. And we saw them go in 2 days later and switch the vote and flip the vote around to the votes that they wanted. And then we videotaped them destroying the evidence and also admitting on video that they fabricated the entire election. I think that's, we have more, but I think I'm going to give a break there to let you absorb that.
Well, yeah, it seems to be rather extraordinary. Now, you did all of this work. The FBI has done none of it because they're not committed to actually enforcing law anymore. Neither is the Department of Justice. So how were you able, and I'm assuming you have all of this on tape and real and verifiable, have you presented your findings to anybody in authority?
Yes. In November of 2020, I think it was November 27th, might have been the 20th, probably the 27th, or maybe the 25th, we appeared before the Pennsylvania GOP. They had a Senate hearing. I'm pulling over in my car. I just had to drop my son off.
It's all right.
I'm just pulling over, so I'm not jumping around here. But we went before the Pennsylvania Senate GOP and testified before them to everything I just said. They did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. We went to the week of the elections. I went to U.S. Attorney Billy McSwain in eastern Pennsylvania on the Saturday following the election. And I know, you know, we're not friends, but I know Billy. I've done a lot of forensic and fraudulent fraud examinations and investigations for both the government and for private industry. So I had his cell phone, you know, I had his number on my cell phone. So I gave him a call and I said, Bill, we just need to do a forensic image of about maybe four or five machines, the tabulation servers. I'd like to get a couple of the voting machines. And I said, I'm 100% positive I can prove there was fraud, because they'll give us the evidence that they put these B drives in later. So he got pretty, he was very supportive initially. You know, he does know me, or he does know of me, and he knows I am a credible examiner or investigator. So he called U.S. Attorney Barr, and Barr told him to stand down. And he later, Bill McSwain did so reluctantly, he later sent an apology to the president, President Trump, in June of 2021. It was a formal letter that he submitted, published it in the newspapers, and he admitted what had happened, and he admitted that he shouldn't have stood down, and he admitted that the votes were fraudulent.
You know, you said U.S. Attorney Barr? You mean the United States Attorney General Barr?
U.S. Attorney General Barr told U.S. Attorney, U.S. Attorney for Eastern Pennsylvania was Bill McSwain, so the U.S. Attorney General is Bill Barr. He told Bill McSwain to stand down and not to investigate. In the book, in U.S. Attorney General Barr's book, he admitted to the incident. First, they, you know, everyone, no one said anything, but in his own book, he admitted that he called it all, I don't know what I'm allowed to say on the radio, but all BS.
Yes.
Spelled out, all BS in his book. So he admitted the incident happened, and Bill McSwain obviously admitted the incident happened, and they admitted that there were 47 USB V drives that they used to withhold. But what this is important is in the book we describe, this is how they did the fraud and they got the vote that they wanted to have. They only needed to target 8 swing states and 32 counties. So there's 3,200 counties in the United States. And one of the reasons people don't, you know, I think everybody has a feeling that they cheated and has a gut feel that they cheated, because the results are just incredulous. You can't, they can't justify the votes.
It's true.
Statistically. But they only needed to go after 8 states and 32 counties. And that's one of the reasons that this has been so hard to prove. But we do have 100%, it's irrefutable proof, which is one of the reasons probably none of your listeners have heard of me, other than I was the main testimony for Texas versus Pennsylvania by your attorney general.
Right. And that the basis of our criticism of the election of 2020 has been based on violations of law. And I want to get into that next with Gregory Stenstrom. He is a co-founder of Patriot Online, a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. He's got a new book out called Parallel Election, a Blueprint for Deception. The China virus provided the predicate for several states to violate election laws. As you probably know, Michigan's Secretary of State already has been found by a judge to have violated her election laws. She suffered no consequences. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania, changed election laws contrary to the Constitution. Georgia certainly did that, as did Michigan. So let me ask you point blank, did those states follow their election laws or did they violate their election laws in 2020?
Well, I can speak to Pennsylvania definitively. They violated election law incredibly so. And the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania actually stated in their finding that what we used was a series of acts here called Act 77, and then the governor used the COVID lockdowns to further cement the fraud, but they called it unconstitutional. So our own Commonwealth Court, which is one of the appellate court before we go to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, declared it unconstitutional. That was McClinko versus Secretary of State and Bonner versus Secretary of State. So that's a case they can look up that they declared it unconstitutional, and the governor broke pretty much every election law there was, and so did Secretary Brookbar, and that's why we're suing. We sued Secretary Brookbar and 48 other defendants.
Wow.
And that case was, I'm going to let you go on. I answered your question.
Yeah, no kidding. I like it. This is fascinating stuff. I'm glad to hear some folks aren't letting this die. What about this? Because we heard these reports that in Pennsylvania in particular, that Republican observers, not Democrat observers, but Republican observers were kept either out of the counting areas or 100 feet back where they would have to use binoculars to observe the vote. And the Democrats were allowed to come up close and personal with the ballots. Was there truth to this?
I was a Republican observer, by the way.
Yeah.
I was a certified poll watcher, and there's a difference. You just used the word observer, and that's a word that they crafted specifically for this election. A certified poll watcher has the right, and they are the intervener for not only the candidate, but they're also an intervener with standing for the citizenry to go and challenge any ballot. We can go up, we can challenge someone who's voting, we can challenge a ballot, we can challenge just about every component of the election. Now, we can't interfere, and there's a big difference between intervention and interference.
Yeah, FBI interference.
We can intervene. So we were held out. Now, I wasn't held out.
Uh-huh.
We went and got a court an injunction to go back and see the ballots in the back room. And that's one of the differences with Delaware County is I knew what Leah Hoops and myself, who is the co-author of the book, Leah Hoops and I both know what a certified poll watcher can and can't do. So we went and got a court order to allow us to examine and go back into the back room and look at the canvassing areas, and we wouldn't let ourselves be blocked out. But I just want to finish on this observer. In the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, they created a case called In Re : Canvassing Observations. They call it In Re Canvassing Observations. And the reason I say that it was quoted all over the country, not just in Pennsylvania, but it was quoted as precedent all over the country. And what they did is there was a lawyer for President Trump, last name I think was Mercer, and he had just submitted a case to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that they were blocking him from being able to see any action, any of the canvassing areas. Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that as an observer, they didn't have to do that.
Wow.
And that as long as they were in the same room, they were allowed to, observe that the state was compliant with their election law. But what they did, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court also stated in their opinion, it said that certified poll watchers have specific rights that are not to be subrogated. So what they said is the certified poll watcher has very, very specific rights. Now, they've been misquoted. Lawyers here, Democrat lawyers, RNC lawyers, they misquoted that. But the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said the poll watchers do have rights. So we should have, if you fight your way in, and when I say fight, I don't mean physically fight, but if you assert your rights in this coming election as a poll watcher, you should be able to see these things.
Right.
But to wrap up this long answer to a short question, it was both the Democrats and Republicans that they worked in cooperation and collusion with each other, and in the book we call them a uniparty, a corporate uniparty. I want people to be clear that I'm not anti-Democrat. I'm not anti pretty much anything. I'm fairly secular. I was a U.S. naval officer, and you know what I care about is an honest vote. Democrat or Republican, I want to see a square vote. So we're not against anybody, but I've got to say that the Republicans, probably more so than the Democrats, were responsible for the fraud.
Good grief. That's telling. Folks, we are having a conversation with Gregory Stenstrom. He's co-founder of Patriot Online, digital privacy ecosystem and a social media platform. He is the author of Parallel Election, a Blueprint for Deception. By the way, you're saying that poll watchers can't interfere. That's the FBI's job, of course. They do plenty of interference in our elections, it seems. 2,000 Mules. Did you see the movie, and what were your impressions?
I saw the movie, and I think it was a very valuable movie from the perspective that, you know, I think it destroyed the narrative that there was no fraud. I think the narrative, the media narrative, that this was the safest and most secure election in history, I think they've done even more to damage their credibility with statements like that. And I think that the 2,000 Mules was very valuable from a perspective that, you know, it provided qualitative evidence, observational evidence that there was fraud. What the movie didn't do, and that our book does, and they're doing a sequel for 2,000 Mules. It's going to be called Beyond the Mules, and that's going to be, our book is the center of that movie. That'll be out either later this year or early next year. I'm not sure what the date's going to be. But the difference between 2,000 Mules in our case is we have quantitative measurable evidence. What 2,000 Mules presented was the case. They destroyed the narrative that there was no fraud. Now the next step is to show quantitatively with real numbers and hard proof that there was fraud. And that's what we do.
And do you think that the narrative at that time, once the evidence is presented, and of course, as you know, Chief Justice John Roberts made sure that none of this evidence was presented in court. He made sure of it. So
that's 100% correct. 65 cases, actually it's 68 cases. 68 cases in the country were presented, including by the Texas Attorney General, who actually filed a suit with the U.S. Supreme Court against Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and I believe it was, I think it was Georgia.
Georgia, too, yep.
68 cases went up. 68 cases were not only dismissed, but they didn't even allow evidentiary hearings.
Correct, because the evidence that everybody was secure, Chief Justice John Roberts, chief among them, they were certain this evidence existed, and it couldn't allow to be presented. So we've got to go 2 or 3 years down the road after Beijing Biden destroys the country, and the public would be willing to hear, oh, man, there was all manner of, and well, it's too late now. We can't do anything about it now. Let's just focus on the future for now. Do you see this is where the narrative is going to go? Yeah, we cheated, and we knew the evidence was there, but now that it's out, let's just move on. Isn't that going to be the narrative?
That's where they are presently. Yeah. There is a constitutional process to this. And Leah Hoops, who's the co-author of the book with me and who is a township, Bethel Township committee woman, who was responsible for the integrity of the vote and ensuring the integrity of votes. One of her roles as a committee woman, and she actually recruited me because of my expertise in fraud. So we were both residents of the county, but we were also concerned citizens, but we had expertise and a responsibility. So what we did is we planned this out. There's a constitutional path here. It's taken us 2 years to prove that the Pennsylvania Attorney General acted criminally. It took us 2 years to prove that the district attorney the Delaware County acted criminally. And it took us 2 years to prove that the Board of Elections chairman fraudulently and criminally certified the election. We've done that. We've absolutely proven it. And the latest, our latest case, we only had two cases, the second one being a spoliation case where we showed them destroying the evidence and admitting to the fraud. The judge did just that. He said, well, he dismissed it because it was moot. It's 2 years ago. Let's move on.
Right.
So that's okay. We expected all this to happen. We knew this was all part of the fraud. So the next steps are to go to the legislature and the Congress. So we've already been in touch with the Judiciary Committee for both the Pennsylvania legislature and the Judiciary Committee for the U.S. Congress. And we also are filing, we're at the point now where we're filing our case to the Supreme Court. We've gone through all the appellate steps that we had to go through. So three things are happening right now. We're going to the legislature, we're going to the Congress, and we're going to the Supreme Court. And we have the evidence that there was a fraudulent election and it shouldn't have been certified. And we have the evidence of criminal activity by these people who did it. And we name them in the book.
Well, see, and this two final questions. Isn't this the problem with Republicans and Democrats, as you describe them, the Uniparty? And I'm not going to disagree with you because I think it's true now more than ever. There's no such thing as an opposition party. You have individuals who are found to have violated the law. I'll point out Jocelyn Benson from Michigan. It has been ruled by a judge that she broke the law, and she's still walking around a free woman. You have proven, you say in your book, that these individuals, through evidence and in your book, that these individuals in Pennsylvania broke the law, robbed us of our most essential rights and liberties in determining who represents us in government. It's going to be found out, and let's just say for argument's sake, that everything that you have presented here is rock solid and it is proof positive. And none of these people will be thrown in jail. None of these people will meet any amount of justice for stealing our voices. And because, as you point out, Republicans and Democrats will collude to make sure their own are never held accountable. Is that fair?
No, I think that that's the frustration. That it has happened in the past, but I've been responsible for putting people in jail. I put senior officials in jail that thought they were going to get away with it. It takes a little while.
Yep.
It takes 2 to 4 years, and it takes a lot of patience. But we will hold them accountable. I believe 80% of the people in this country agree on 90% of things. I think when someone says they're a Democrat or Republican, I think just as many people are born Republicans or born Democrats. But I really believe that most people are good people, and they agree on things. So it's a very small percentage on the far right and the far left that are that take advantage of these people, and we're going after them. And we do have a plan here. And I do believe whether a congressman's corrupt or not, when we get to a vote, and we're eventually going to get to a vote in the Congress and the legislature, then they're going to have to consider their own self-interests, and they're going to have to consider their constituency. So I believe that they will be going to jail. We've already had people here resign. We've had the Board of Elections chairman, who's an attorney, he resigned. We had people resign from the Republican Executive Committee. We've had people that have resigned, retired, and left from the Board of Elections. They're on the run. We've got them on the run.
Yeah, well, you know,
so
let's
we're
hope
they get them.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's hope. Let's hope their resignations, like they're pulling a Dr. Fauci. Let's hope the resignations don't deter the bloodhounds out there from finding these people and holding them accountable for what they have done. Last thing, Pennsylvania, I know, has been your focus. I know you keep track of probably what's going on around the rest of the country as well. But we'll ask the questions centered around Pennsylvania, and then maybe you can broaden the perspective to see who is doing what's needing to be done. Has the work been done in Pennsylvania to stop what happened in 2020 from ever happening again? Or are the people who cheated leaving the door open to do it again?
Well, we'll absolutely try to do it again. But what we can do is, because of the massive fraud, the name of the book, the subtitle for the book, The Parallel Election, is A Blueprint for Deception. And people in Georgia, they did this in those 8 targeted counties. So Georgia would be Fulton and DeKalb County. In Arizona, you would have Maricopa and Pima County, Antrim County, all the counties that we mentioned in the book. They're absolutely going to try to do the fraud again. But we do know how they're doing it. And the way we prove it, one of the ways we prove it, is a thing called the return sheets. So every election has to be reconciled by 2 a.m. Now, if we hold them to their feet to the fire, if we get enough certified poll watchers throughout the country, and specifically in these counting centers where they're going to try to cheat again, I think we can stop it. But it's going to take a lot of, it's going to take your radio show, it's going to take people like yourself, you know, screaming this to the rafters, and people, you know, buying the book and understanding what happened, and going to their congressmen and going to their representatives and saying, hey, we want a fair election, and we want our certified poll watchers, you know, not to be held back, and being able to challenge votes and being able to challenge the processes that they're using to commit the fraud.
Well,
and I think we're going to be able to do that.
And in case, folks, you're relying on the Republicans, like in states like Arizona, they left the cameras on these drop boxes off for 3 weeks and oh my goodness, look, the cameras are off. The Republicans have, well, they're not doggedly watching what the other side is doing. So if you don't put all your hope in the Republican Party, because as Arizona just showed, they're either complicit or asleep at the switch. You've got to really stay on these people. That's what self-government is all about. The name of the book is Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception. The author, the co-author, Gregory Stenstrom, he's the co-founder of Patriot Online, a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. Sir, appreciate the hard work and the visit.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
As I started off saying, folks, there are a lot of stakeholders who are invested on making sure you never know the truth. And I ask myself this question all the time. If things were going swimmingly in the United States, if the economy was humming, if the borders were only legal immigration was happening, not this massive, close to 6 million illegal aliens traipsing into the United States, if the economy wasn't a basket case, the supply chain crisis, this forced conversion over to green energy, which is going to be toxic for the earth and can't be done. It can't be done with the current resources that we have in the world. It can't be done. If our foreign policy was somehow cogent, if our military wasn't being purged of patriots, I would maybe look the other way and say, let's just move on. But everything is miserable and getting more miserable, and our freedoms are going away. And there are people inside, whatever you want to call them, the deep state, permanent Washington, whatever, who are like, yeah, I kind of like this totalitarianism. Fine, it's just not America. It's not the United States anymore. And I want my country back, and I'm praying to God you do too. That's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, do me a favor. Head on over to a couple of websites. The first one is TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com for all the real important news that's impacting Texas. And because it impacts Texas, it impacts the entire country. Also go to ChrisSalcedo.com. There you can find, well, ways to drop me an email, drop me a voicemail, book me for a speech. You can also track me down on the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And on Newsmax, every afternoon, 4 o'clock until 5 Eastern, there. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.